drop your socks and grab your pencils and look up, here comes the Colonel.
Funny, funny is it? I really do not know what is so funny. Welcome back to second half hour of The Promise of Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network. I'm your host, I'm Colonel Mason. We've been talking with Dr. Honley Wu in the first half hour, talking about macular degeneration, and I was fascinated by Dr. Wu, who was born in Beijing, China, had longed all her life to live in America, worked very, very hard learning the language and getting through the university until finally she could make it here, and I asked her more about that, and that was wonderful to hear her answers. We're going to have that in a minute. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments with the voice of reason. Also, Diane Collier, the chairman of MetroCon, is going to stop in and bring us up to date on that particular conference. So now let's step over to our fountain of useless information.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help you?
Yes. We have awakened the spirit of the fountain for today's query, because we threw in the coins. The spirit of the fountain, who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all. For a price, you know, of course. Absolutely. All right, oh, Spirit of the Fountain, here's one for you. This one should be an easy one for the Spirit of the Fountain and for anyone who has done some international travel. The Corfu Channel. The Corfu Channel, C-O-R-F-U Channel, separates the Greek island of Corfu from which neighboring country? Oh, Spirit of the Fountain, can you tell us that, the Corfu Channel? What separates it, the Greek island of Corfu, from what neighboring country?
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell me.
Aha! We cannot stump the Spirit of the Fountain. The Corfu Channel separates the Greek island of Corfu from, if you said Albania, you're absolutely right. Yes, Albania. All right, back to our program. Dr. Wu, you've been a fascinating guest, and you and I were communicating a little bit before the interview, and we discovered that you're from Beijing, from China. You and your husband both your husband's a physician, he's a doctor. And tell us a little bit about that. How did you happen to come to the United States, and are you planning to make the rest of your life here?
Okay, so thank you so much for asking this question. I think when I was only like 5 years old, I decided to come to the United States because I think this is definitely a land of hopes. And then for my career, it means opportunity because the United States is definitely the driven force for the health care system as well as the medical research. We are definitely the leading driven force for that. Another important thing is that I think in the United States, we have a lot of opportunity for the researchers as well. But I have to say that during these years, because of the economy or because of the policy of the NIH, the researcher in the United States definitely face a lot of challenges in terms of funding. In order to keep all those exciting research going on, we have to have enough funding support. So back in the old days, and then United States definitely provide a good amount of and very generous support for the researchers. But unfortunately, during recent years, starting from 2008, and the NIH has trouble to support a lot of the researchers. So this is definitely the biggest challenge there we're facing. But overall, even we have challenges, but I have to say that the U.S. definitely has a lot of potentials, and then we have a lot of brilliant researchers and the top students and passionate general public to support the research. So we have challenge, but we definitely have hope.
You know, you mentioned the NIH. That's the National Institute of Health, I believe you're talking about. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And you decided to come to the United States when you were 5 years old. Is that when you came? Did your parents bring you, or did you have to wait until you get to be an adult?
Okay, so it took me a long journey to be able to come to the United States. Ever since 5 years old, I know the United States is land of freedom, a land of hopes, and land of dreams. That's one. I decided to come. but it took me 23 more years to be able to finally fulfill my dream to be able to come to the United States, because I have to finish all my degree in China, so that I can have the education, so that I can have the skills, that I'd be able to come to the United States. And meanwhile, I spent a lot of time learning to speak English, and then try to understand the culture of the United States. Because for me, I think for a foreigner to live in the United States, speaking the language is number one, and learning and understanding the culture is number two. I think that took me also a long time. So during those 23 years, I take a lot of time to learn English, and also I took a lot of time to actually watch the videos and watch the movies and listen to the videos, and also to see a lot of TV shows so that I understand what is the American spirit, what is the American culture is. So I think that also took me a long time.
Well, you're a wonderful inspiration, especially to those of us who were born here and pick up the language naturally. As the hard work that you have put into, and you mastered the language, the English language, so very well, so much better than many people that were born here.
Flattered. Thank you.
Well, we're really glad that we have you, and China doesn't. And we hope that we hope you'll stay in this country, and spend your entire life here and contribute. One thing more before we go, Dr. Wu. In all this study that you've done in China, of course, there's a lot of wisdom in China. There's a lot of really wonderful things that have come out of China, over the centuries. Maybe a word of wisdom. Is there a word of wisdom that you can leave us with? One creed to live by, words to live by, or something? Maybe Confucian. Maybe not. Maybe something else. Something that you picked up along the way.
Well, I think I really love the concept of yin and yang. That is the concept of our 5,000 years of wisdom, which means your body and your life needs a balance. We have a dark side, we have a bright side. We let them sit together and maintain the harmony and maintain the balance. That is very important. So in terms of your health, it's the same thing. You're going to take some of the risk that is something that with you that you cannot change. It's there. But meanwhile, we need some of the bright side, which means healthy lifestyle and positive attitude. So that is something that I want to talk to everybody. So whenever we live in our health for now, we're looking for the balance. And then have a positive attitude, get well prepared, and then you're going to have a bright future.
Wow, that's really kind of been your theme through this whole conversation, is that there needs to be a balance, and we appreciate that. We just so much enjoy speaking with you. We're going to look forward to seeing you at the MetroCon conference. Those who want to know more about the conference can go to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of the screen, you'll see a link. And we'll sure look forward to seeing Dr. Honglei Wu at the MetroCon conference. It's wonderful to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's a wonderful, wonderful conversation, and hope to see you soon in the conference.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Right now, we're going to go to the phones. We've got a real treat. We have an old friend with us, a lady we've known for a number of years, Diane Collier. She, this year, is the chairman of the 29th annual conference, MetroCon, Innovating for Society. Lockheed Martin's a major sponsor, so is Encore, and a number of others. And this is really, Diane, this is your second year, I think, to be the chairman. Is that right?
Yes, it is. We had a great year last year. seven tracks, all very interesting material. And so we're working on doing it again for 2016.
You made such an impression with your leadership last year that the committee begged you to please stay on and come back and be tortured again putting the show together this year. All right.
Well, they didn't have to twist my arm very hard. I've been involved with the conference a lot of those 29 years, so I've got a lot of background in it.
Yeah, really,
I remember it back when it was two.
Yeah, you're an old hand. Actually, I remember because you and I have been dealing together with IEEE functions for a number of years now. So this is nothing new for you. This is the 29th straight year for MetroCon, and it's highly respected. And it's a one-day conference, which is what is really amazing, is because you're able to get all these people together, all these neat things going on, for one day. And there's a lot of other conferences that do 2 and 3 days and more. They wonder how you do it, how you get it all together. I mean, do you have any insight for us?
Well, it takes lots of planning. We start the next conference as the last one ends. We've got folks that have been involved with it for a number of years, and we cycle new people in to try to keep it fresh. What some of the multi-day conferences that have is a lot of people who travel. This one is primarily local, and so we're able to give people a break out of their work day into a training atmosphere and a networking atmosphere where they can get away from the office but still be building their technical background and their careers, and it's been a growing thing for a number of years.
Yeah, it's been fascinating to see it grow and sponsors coming aboard that really are pretty far flung. I remember last year Landis Gear came in. They're the ones who make the smart meters for us with Encore. I think they're coming back again this year. We're supposed to know here in a little bit. But so the sponsors have really grown widely. And I understand that unlike a lot of conferences that IEEE does and others that are marginal, that really MetroCon pays the bills and actually is a pretty good fundraiser for the organization.
Yes, it's taken us a while to get there, but this last year we had the best year fiscally ever, so we're able to put on other programs within the section. We do some reach out with programs that involve STEM studies, and so it gives us a greater base to improve the conference and to put on other programs within the area.
Yeah, well, that's the reason, I guess, is you're so highly respected and really noticed, quite frankly, far and wide. I mean, I hear people talking about MetroCon in all different parts of the country. They've asked me about it. Some of the things this year you're expanding upon, like systems and software track. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Let's see, the track chair for that is Steve Carr, and he's got a co-chair, Pascal Ronda. And they're out of Lockheed Martin, and they've got a good number of folks that are from Lockheed speaking in that track, and also an old friend of ours that's been there several years, John Robb, who's at UTA, is going to be speaking on mutation testing. Let's see, we also have Ali L. Karabi from Hewlett-Packard, and I think they have another speaker that's going to be very interesting that they're lining up soon.
All right, that's cool. I believe, last I heard, and tell me if it's still in the works, but there's going to be a speaker from IBM. Has that been confirmed?
Yes, our keynote speaker is Romelia Flores from IBM. She is a IBM Distinguished Engineer and Master Inventor, and she's going to be talking about their Watson project. Now, Watson is really a lot of different things, and really ties in with our computational intelligence track. As you can take information and using Watson, grow that information to evaluate potential outcomes. And she'll be talking about, I think, an application that applies to the energy industry, among other things. We're not limiting her. She is really a fantastic speaker, and we're really excited to have her.
Okay, so she's really kind of still developing the things that she's going to be talking about, and I guess we'll know more about that as the weeks and months go on leading up to MetroCon. But incidentally, we should mention right now, it's October 26th at the Arlington Convention Center. We'll mention that again before the program is over with. I presume that she might have something to do with that developing and deploying secure systems, too. The cybersecurity, is she going to address any of that, or do you have other experts there?
Well, we have other experts there. That track is led by Philip Todd and Princy Mehta of Lockheed Martin. You notice we have a lot of folks involved from Lockheed.
Mm-hmm.
They have a speaker coming in from FBI office. And, of course, we don't have a name for that person because they will maintain their security.
Sure.
We also have one of our speakers on developing and deploying secure systems is Ben Coloni. And he is a person who's spoken at the conference several times.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to speak on structure assurance modeling. We also have Don Fryer, who's going to be speaking on considerations for multidisciplinary approach in engineering of trustworthy secure systems. It's going to be a strong track. They always have some very in-depth security programs in that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. We covered. Did we finish covering machine intelligence with the IBM speaker, or is there more to talk about with that track?
With that track, Romelia will be speaking Romelia will be speaking to the entire body at the luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
The computational intelligence track. Some of the questions that people have is, you talk about artificial intelligence, machine intelligence, computational intelligence. What do all those things mean? And so we've got a panel discussion where those terms will be compared and contrasted.
Okay.
And that will start off the track to kind of lay a groundwork for the track. The track chair for that is Oscar Garcia of UNT.
Mm-hmm.
And the co-chair is Ed Stafford. Ed Stafford is an IEEE member that's worked with us for a number of years on three programs in this section.
Yeah, we know Ed. We know Ed really, really well. Very, very talented, intelligent guy. Sure, Ed Stafford.
Mm-hmm. We have a professor from Wright State University, Dayton, Ohio, coming. Michael Cott is speaking on intelligent autonomy and long duration persistent activities, I probably should attend that to find out exactly what that means.
Okay. All right.
Here's another one that I think sounds really interesting, and this is another person from the University of North Texas, Rodney Nielsen,
mm-hmm.
is speaking on perceptive, emotive, spoken dialogue companion robots, which I think that will tie in very, very well to the Watson title. One of the interesting things is if you go to the IBM site where Watson has some tools that you can use or play with, is there's an item where you can put in your email information that you're going to put into an email and send, and check the tone of your email.
Mm.
You can tell whether you sound angry or joyful.
You mean in the written word, it'll prompt you as to whether you're sounding angry or joyful or insulting or whatever?
Yes,
whatever.
It'll give you the information on how you sound.
Well, you know, that's really something, because, you know, we know with voice inflection, as we can tell, if somebody is angry or happy or whatever, and so we're pretty good. And in body language, too, with our looks and things like that, but the written word can be treacherous. There's times when people have dashed off a note to me or me to somebody else, and I'm looking back at later on and said, well, that sounds really, you know, blunt. And almost sounds confrontational, and it wasn't meant that way at all. So that's pretty cool.
So I think that's a useful tool for us. So I think that should tie, those things tie well to the Watson program at the luncheon.
Yeah, and power and energy systems, that's another one. Of course, that's a specialty with IEEE, since you happen to be in the business of power and energy systems. And I understand Encore is going to be making a presentation there. We're hoping to have the CEO of Encore, a guest on the program one of the days pretty soon. But is there any more that we need to know about the power and energy systems track?
Well, that track is led by Power Zell and Michael Stevens. And they are both from Encore, and they have just filled their track. They're from the Power Engineering Society, which is one of the strongest societies in the Fort Worth section.
Mm-hmm.
They have the most active chapter. Some of the interesting things is how they could be tied to the security track, because they have power system cybersecurity by Joe Eisenstein of Encore. And they're also looking at some other things in power, integration of renewable variable energy resources from Lee Z of Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And power systems and physical insight, and others to be named soon.
All right. All right, that's good. Diane Collier, the chairman for the 29th straight year of MetroCon. This is her second year as chairman. The highly respected. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
As Einstein said, we need to use different ways of thinking to solve the problems that we created. Otherwise, we'll never solve them. And the cloud is certainly a wonderful thing, because it means we have direct data access to all our data wherever we are. And again, it goes back to what we started with the security aspects of it. It also means that if we're not careful, everyone else does. My name is Matthew Hawes. I'm a go-to-market solutions specialist specializing in model-based systems engineering, and I'm an engineering fellow at PTC.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you.